From dining to living to wherever, we help give confused rooms new direction. This is the Confused Room Podcast.
Here we are, the Confused Room Podcast. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for watching or listening on whatever platform it is that you are doing that on. Please be sure to press subscribe on the platform at which you are listening. That helps us grow in those rankings. Reviews help as well if you like the programs. Thank you for doing that in advance. We have a reveal on this episode here.
I'm excited.
Today. This is a project that we've been talking about for a while.
Yeah, like over a year.
And have finally gotten to. And I'll just show a before right now to kind of get a little context on it. The Fireplace Project. Yeah. Is what this is. And this is way before. Here's a little bit more current. A fireplace is currently there in that spot. And it's a corner fireplace, kind of a diagonal if you're listening to the show. Just basically had some, tile around it. Really.
Very builder's grade.
Yeah.
Just enough to prevent, you know, the drywall from catching on fire.
Essentially, yes.
And that's it.
Only you can prevent a drywall fire.
Yeah.
Is really what it was, going on with that. So, we did quite, a makeover on that. And this, incidentally, is the project that caused some phalangical injuries.
That's not a word, but yeah.
Phalangical is a word.
It is not.
Are you sure?
I bet it's not.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm just going to go with phalangical. So anyway, but we talked about that last week
on
the show.
We talked last week about my chemical burns, so everybody knows to be careful.
Well, what's the update? Like, it's rescue 911. Like, rescue 911. Update.
Like I said before, I'm down to one Band-Aid. My worst burn is almost closed up, so.
Well, good. Well, I had to update because, yes, you did say that before, but that was before we started this episode.
Okay.
So now I had to let everybody know.
I'm good.
Do you want to share on camera, the like we did when
you
we
want
were,
to show my wound?
When we were kids? It's like, can I see what's underneath your Band-Aid?
And, no, you know, we're not going to do that. It's pretty gross.
Band-Aid sharing.
I'm not doing that.
That would be. That's our next podcast.
No. Just
everybody shares what's under their Band-Aids.
That's gross.
Number one with five-year-olds.
I'm sure.
Our creative juice this week comes to us from Colorado. It is Two Rivers. Out of Grand Junction, Colorado. They're just before the Colorado National Monument. It started back in 1999.
Okay.
Is when these guys started. And it's interesting, you read the website and you learn about them, and I talk to them a little bit. And, you know, just perspective-wise, you think, yeah, 99, not that long ago. And in the terms of, you know, I guess some longer-running vineyards, not that long ago. But 99, we're talking 19 years
yeah,
ago. And,
yeah.
You know, so they're not,
they're not newbies.
It's not. I mean,
no.
And that's such an interesting thing when you talk about time and years, and it's like, people that reference 95 is, oh, that's so long. It's like, it kind of was long ago, but it sure as hell doesn't feel like it. They have a chateau and conference center on their property, and they make some really good wine. In full disclosure, we tried their Syrah the other night.
It was really, really good.
It was really good, but I thought I'd open up this one tonight for the show. It's their Vintner's Blend. 60% Syrah on this and 40% Cabernet. So.
Okay.
Have some.
Yes.
Shall you?
Thank you.
And I'm just going to use the bottle. I'll be polite.
That's good.
So if you're ever out,
it's a little bit sweet.
In Colorado. Does anyone say Colorado?
No.
Is that just me saying Colorado? Delicious.
I like that.
A little bit sweeter than the one the other night.
Yeah.
But it's not like sweet. It is a dry wine.
I mean, right.
So sweeter on the dry scale of wines.
Yes.
But lots of body, lots of flavor to that. So thank you guys for sending that. They have a handful of varietals that you can check out if you're out that direction. Jenny's going to hide behind her wine glass tonight, actually.
No, I'm going to move it.
She's going to go like right behind it and That's how it's going to work on camera. By the way, you can watch all of this stuff, everything we do online on our website, confusedroom.com. And of course, on YouTube, that's where we put the videos out. So you can see all of our stuff before, afters, all of that. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
To take a look here at what we've done.
Yeah.
Jenny Brewski, are you ready to see your fireplace that you burned your hands on?
Yes, I'm ready to see my fireplace I built.
Take a sheet away from it. Right. And like, wow. Okay. So, okay. Let's take a look again. This is the before of, and we're going to walk through how we did this. So there you go. Corner wall, big inlets, for a television set. And we put one there. But you know, kind of the golden oak going on.
Oh yeah.
And then kind of the pinkish looking, tile.
I think the tile was more beige when it was put in, and over time it turned pinkish.
Do you think it changed color? Like,
I think so, because I think it's just, and this is maybe a stretch, but you know, the tile, that kind of tile kind of is like a terracotta pinkish color underneath. I think over time this just kind of wore out.
It didn't get better with age, is what you're saying.
It did not age well, no. That or the quality of tile has vastly improved, and this was bargain basement back in the day.
I'm guessing, as we're talking about 90s just a few minutes ago, probably. Although, when was this built?
This house will be 20 next year.
Okay, so it was built in the 90s, late 90s?
Yeah. Right?
Okay, so like 98, 99. So I'm guessing that's probably about when that went in. Mm-hmm. So, vintage.
Yeah.
Vintage tile. So that's what we saw. Then we did a little ripping out of the tile itself.
Well, we left the TV box, or what we call the TV box, because we still wanted to put a flat screen up there and some other equipment to go with it. But we took the very bottom trim piece off because the mantle was going to fit between the top of the firebox and the bottom of the TV box.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the reason we tore that bottom piece of trim off.
So got that out, and then we had to do a little bit of work to get some tile board up, cement board.
Cement board. And in the process, I painted first, and I think I mentioned before on a previous episode, I didn't want to have to cut in around every single stone. So I elected to paint the walls first, which they are kind of a dark, almost navy, but just blue.
Mm-hmm.
And I painted the TV box black, and I used the Rust-Oleum High Heat black matte finish paint for the gold accent that was around the edge of the fireplace, which everything built in the 90s was touched by that stuff.
So
that completely took care of that problem. Very easy fix. It's like, I think, $7 or $8 for a can of it, and it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. It is important, if you're going to do what we did, because we're going to about to show you, we put up some essentially stone onto the fireplace.
It's stone veneer.
So you can't just do it on your drywall.
No.
I mean, technically, could it go up for a little while? Sure.
It'll fail pretty quick.
So it is a step you should not be skipping over.
Right. Just like if you're putting tile up, you should go ahead and do this. And this was, you know, floor to ceiling, heavy stone veneer.
Yeah.
You don't have to with this particular product, and a lot of the interior stone veneer products, you don't have to do the metal lath and then plaster stuff over that.
Yeah.
You can just do, we used Hardiebacker. You can do that, Wonderboard, any kind of cement board that has a little bit of grooving and texture that will hold the, in this case, the mortar.
Mm-hmm. And before we even were able to put up the rock that we're doing on this, what we wanted to do was create a mantle, and a nice big, you know, bulky wood
rustic beam mantle.
Yeah, and the thing is, they're heavy. They're difficult to work with if you're doing real wood.
They are, and it's hard to come by. They're very pricey when you do find them, and you can't always guarantee that the old ones have been dried out properly, so you don't know what all has been living in your beam and may decide to come out.
Yes, it's after 10 years. Hey, look, came out of hibernation, and now you have a new family of things in your house. So we had an alternative to that.
We did. We found a company out of Texas called Old World Traditions, and they are probably far and away, in my opinion, they're far and away the best company for mm-hmm. doing faux beams.
Yeah.
They do faux beams for ceilings, trusses, everything, but they also do mantles, which the thing is, I wanted to have the finished ends on the beams, so mm-hmm. we went with them for getting a mantle, and it's hollow, and it's made out of foam, and I, mm-hmm. I look like I've been lifting weights when you pick it up, because it weighs hardly anything at all.
Yeah, and let me show the video of it so you can see exactly what we're talking about. And I want to preface, you're going to start it, you're going to see this thing, and they do sell them pre-stained if you want.
They do, and their stain mm-hmm. selection's beautiful, but I was trying to match some other wood accents we already had going on, mm-hmm. so I elected to get the unfinished.
So that's what you see here is the staining process initially. The light version is how it comes if you get it unstained, and then we worked on staining. And look how it turns into, it looks so real.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I love faux finishing things, so I put my own twist on it. I did really dark stain and the deep crevices to try and really add some aging to it. It's beautiful if you do it just all one color, but mm-hmm. I really wanted to add some additional depth and accentuate some of the detail from this piece, which, you know, they put those gouges and crevices in the mold to give it even more character. So I wanted to highlight that.
And it really, once this thing is stained and once it's there and just sitting there, you would have no idea it is not a real piece of wood.
I mean, oh, yeah. Even the end has tree rings on it.
It does. I mean, it is so, so convincing. The only way you'd actually know is if you lift it up and you realize how insanely light it is, or if you see the backside of it where we affix it to the actual wall where the mantle is. And that's what we're about to see here on the video is exactly how that process works. So you put up basically what?
I put up a 2x4 and I went ahead and I always screw into studs when I can. And in this case, we already knew where the studs were. So I screwed it into the studs and basically you're using it as a cleat and this beam's going to fit right over it. And then you're going to screw down through the top of the beam into the 2x4 that you've attached to the wall.
And there's the hollow inside of it right there. And it's basically a foam type product, a real thick, thick, heavy foam type product. And there we go. Look how strong Jenny is.
Yeah,
got that beam. She's lifting it with one hand at one point. And you just pop it right in there and then you secure it with some screws.
Right. And it's that simple.
I had no idea that it could be that simple.
It's such a wonderful product. I love their stuff.
So if you do want to check it out, owtraditions.com is their website. Old World Traditions is their name, owtraditions.com. And really, you know, fair prices on what you're getting. And I was really just blown away when I went to their website to see everything that they did and what you can get. So if you're wanting this look and you just don't know how to deal with a real beam, don't want to deal with a real beam, I don't, it's a great choice.
So much, I mean, there's endless possibilities on sizes and customizing, and they have different finishes as far as textures and looks. I mean, mm-hmm. it just boggles the mind what they are able to create.
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't. These are some of my favorite shots here. I love seeing the end of it, where you see the mm-hmm. the side of the board, because just that. I mean, it looks so darn real. So we got that done, and that is how our mantle was put up. We had to put that up first because we're going to be rocking around it. So it wasn't something where you could really add afterwards.
In theory, you could, but if you were to build this using mm-hmm. real thick, heavy limestone and a real beam, you would kind of stone around the beam.
Yeah.
And that's the look that I was going for.
Sure. So that was our next step in this whole process is working on that. And there's your friend, the mortar.
I used a giant, what was it, like a Husky Rubbermaid box?
Yes.
And I mixed the mortar right there in the room and had it right beside me, putting it on the stone and attaching it up to the wall. Things went a lot faster when you were able to help the next day and you pre-laid out the stone for me, which is mm-hmm. very highly recommended if you're doing this by yourself. Take the time to lay it out. But it went so fast with you helping me.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's a good two-person project to kind of go back and forth on. The big thing is here, and I'll stress it again, wear the right type of protective gloves when dealing with the mortar.
Yes.
If you do that, you're good to go.
And if you aren't sure, call the company that mm-hmm. you're getting the mortar from, or, you know, the manufacturer.
Yeah. And then you can get it all up there. Really, we got this project done. I mean, you started working on it the day prior.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really.
I didn't do much that day. I waited till you were able to help me the next day. So it was about a one-day project.
Yeah.
I will say this particular stone veneer, most stone veneers, you have to order, mm-hmm. and it's going to take 4 to 6 weeks, somewhere in that range. Ours took, I think, right at 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it was perfect timing for us because I ordered it before Christmas, and we got it and
we're
able to put it up.
Turned out real well. And so we got it all up, and here is the after photos of the entire project. This is we put a new coat of paint up in the room as well, but that's how it turned out.
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
My goal is a Texas cream limestone fireplace, and I think we hit it.
I do too. I think it really, it turned out really, really beautiful. I want to show also what you did with the hearth itself, which
sure.
is the sitting area or the little piece right there in front, and exactly how you finished that off.
Well, the hearth before, we didn't change the footprint of it. It was kind of this like trapezoid shaped hearth, and we left the shape alone because we liked it. But when we took the tile off, we knew we needed to put some sort of tile back on the top just so that it was protected against heat. And, you know, they're gas logs, so nothing's going to fall out. But if you have a wood burning stove or wood burning fireplace, you're going to want to make sure you've got something there to protect against logs falling out. So I used a wood look tile, and that was why I wanted to stain my own mantle, is so that I could stain it to match this wood look tile. And just tiled the top, and then I actually did all the woodwork around the sides just to finish it off and painted it black. Just real simple, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, just kind of trimming it out, I guess, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And it turned out really good. I think the trim, I mean, just those added little touches, because you really could have just gone with a flat board against it if you wanted to, but adding the trim on each side, you know, top and bottom, I think really added a nice little bit of depth and accent to it that really,
yeah.
I mean, it finishes it off. And that I think is a big thing, that if you're just kind of going into a project for the first time, I know I was like that, where it's like, okay, I think I'm done. And then you would go like, no, we're going to do this to it too. And it's amazing how much just adding like one more step, it's usually not that, you know, invasive or difficult,
right.
How much that last little step can really make a dramatic difference.
I know they
in the finished product.
The devil's in the details, but I think never underestimate the power of the details, because mm-hmm. that's the stuff that, you know, sets mm-hmm. it apart.
It's exactly. It's what takes something ordinary and makes it extraordinary. I always said that with food on my food show years ago. But it is. I mean, you can, you know, a lot of people can make an ordinary, you know, dish or something. If you take a little extra time to add a little more something to it, or educate yourself on how to add a little something extra, that's what makes somebody go, oh, that was really good, to, oh, my God, that was amazing. And that's the same sort of thing with home design.
It is.
It really is. So that's that. You got a lot of compliments here.
Oh, thank you.
Stunning. Wow. That looks great.
Thank you.
All sorts of how does it hold up to the kids? Charlene wants to ask.
Oh, it's definitely kid friendly.
They were rock climbing the other day.
No, they weren't rock climbing, but the thing is, it's designed for the exterior of a home. So it's going to hold up to, you know, anything the weather's going to throw at it. So mm-hmm. I wasn't worried about the kids with it. And our kids are old enough that they aren't going to, you know, beat on it with a toy or something anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it was difficult to cut some of the stones.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not at all worried about them breaking or being brittle.
Yeah. It really, I mean, as far as cutting the stones, for the most part, we kind of, I suppose you could use a wet saw. The one that we had, we didn't like, and we were wet sawless at the moment when we were doing it.
We were.
So we just kind of used a screwdriver
and a hammer
and
chiseled it. And, you know, it was effective. It cut, you know, the stone the way we wanted it to. But the stones are actually an inch and a half to almost 2 inches mm-hmm. thick. So they're not super brittle.
No, it worked out really well.
Yeah.
And it's a natural type stone look too. So they didn't have to be perfect.
No.
You wanted them to be looking like, you know, stones, which are not perfect. So it really worked out well. Thank you guys for all the comments on this. If you're watching on Facebook, stick around. We got two more episodes that we're going to be coming out with here throughout the evening. So stay there to the stream. If you're listening to us, thank you guys for listening. Episodes this week, we have a, how do I describe the bedroom? Because I don't want to sound like I'm an ass or chauvinistic or anything. I was going to say single lady's bedroom, because that's what the request was, very specifically saying, I'm a single woman, I want a nice bedroom. That's me. That's not for anybody else.
It's an adult feminine retreat.
Okay. There we go. I like that. Okay. Adult feminine retreat.
Yes.
And then we have, essentially what everyone says, or every guy says, man cave basement.
Yes.
And it's, so we got those two coming up this week, for our next two episodes, of Confused Room. So some interesting before and afters on that. So be sure to press subscribe and don't miss the other episodes this week, and check us out on our website at confusedroom.com to see everything. I think you'll like it.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. Press subscribe, and we'll see you in the next episode of Confused Room.